Welcome to episode 338 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on robotics and automation in space and space travel. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
So, finishing up Saturn?
Oh, I said that I was hoping to be done with this. We recorded on Monday.
Yeah, that's why.
So that's our segue into Monday. It'll be right now.
Ready to go. I know.
We're pretty much done with Saturn.
Okay.
But we do have a few more moons and a few more mysteries to plumb.
Mysteries? Okay.
Oh, yes.
We've already got, the hexagon at the North Pole?
The North Polar Hexagon on Saturn.
Uh-huh.
We've got many odd rings and strange moons and the ridge around that one and the, all sorts of things.
Okay. That was the exhaustive list.
No, it wasn't.
Vaguely waved a stick at it.
Today we're talking about Enceladus.
Really?
Yes.
Enceladus. Did I say that right?
I can spell it for you. Hang on a second. Enceladus.
Enceladus? But some version of that. It's just a weird name, though.
Named after some giant.
Oh.
Greeks and Romans. Yeah, the usual. It was discovered in 1789 by William Herschel.
Holy crap, okay.
It's only got about a 310-mile diameter.
Okay.
Or 500 kilometers, if you prefer. It is the sixth largest moon for Saturn.
Okay.
I don't know how that ranks in the overall solar system. Nobody said.
it's off the chart. We don't care anymore. Yeah.
So it's a pretty tiny moon, but it's still round.
Okay.
It's pretty close in.
Okay.
It finishes its orbit around Saturn a little under every 33 hours.
Hmm.
Aside from its orbit and the fact that it existed at all, it was little more than a dot in the night sky.
Yeah.
For a very long time. It is very bright.
Okay.
But also pretty close into those bright rings and pretty close into that bright planet. So it's hard to make out. In the 1960s, the E-ring was discovered.
Okay.
And until the Phoebe ring was discovered, that was the biggest of them all.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Still pretty faint, still pretty tenuous.
Okay.
And it covers the orbits of several moons. Enceladus happens to be sitting right in the middle of that ring.
Okay.
At the point where the ring is thickest
mm-hmm.
and narrowest.
Okay.
Narrowest, I think, going up and down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they thought for a long time, well, maybe the ring is coming from Enceladus.
Right.
Somehow.
That was going to be my bet.
So we didn't really learn anything else until Voyager 1 and 2 did their flybys.
Okay.
And the Voyager probes, they didn't hang around. Flybys. They flew by the entire system.
I like it, Saturn.
Got a good look at Enceladus, and they noticed that the surface is pretty smooth.
Okay.
Not much in the way of craters. In fact, Voyager 1, who had a worse camera, didn't see any craters.
Okay.
Suggesting that the surface is pretty young.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We didn't really get an idea of what was going on with this moon until Cassini shows up.
Oh.
And it did some flybys.
Yes.
The very first few images showed, yes, the ring is coming mostly from Enceladus because there are gigantic geysers shooting out of the south polar region of this moon.
Holy crap. Okay.
Yes. Mostly water. Water with some other stuff mixed in.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out of an area they call the Tiger Stripes.
Nice.
There are basically four troughs flanked by a couple of decent-sized ridges.
Cool.
And a slightly different color than the rest of the moon.
Hence the stripiness.
Tiger
stripes.
They shoot out a good 240 pounds of material a second. I got this wrong here. 240 kilograms per second.
Okay.
440 pounds per second.
I mean,
it's enough to feed a ring, isn't it?
When does the moon run out?
It's funny you should mention that. All right, so even though that's pretty strange,
yeah,
I haven't really gotten into what's strange about it yet.
Right.
Before we do,
okay,
let's squeeze in another moon or two.
Okay.
Which we did.
Oh.
On Monday. I suppose we should talk some science.
Yes.
Well, I could squeeze in one more moon.
Okay.
During this break thinking, I'm hoping to get done with Saturn this week. Oh. But before we move on, I want to talk about our sponsors.
Oh, hey.
Yes, we've got the solid lead life jacket, high voltage braille, and non-stick glue.
Okay. I like this.
The difference between regular and irregular moons.
Right.
The regular moons are, generally speaking, orbiting close to the equator of whatever they're orbiting.
Yes.
The planet. Yeah. They're spinning in the same direction. They're orbiting in the same direction as the primary or planet is spinning.
Okay.
And they're not hugely inclined, and they're not hugely eccentric.
Okay.
So those are the regulars. And they're generally considered to have probably formed along with whatever planet they are spinning.
Okay.
Because there just hasn't been enough time for them to settle down like that.
Right.
The irregulars.
Aha.
Generally captured from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or at least thought to be. Like Phoebe. We talked about that a lot the previous episode, which you can find by the visiting the lab with Brad.com. It's an irregular.
Yes.
It's going around in the opposite direction.
Yes.
And that Saturn is spinning, and it's got a funny orbit. It's inclined by some ridiculous number of degrees. I can't remember.
So irregular in about every way? Yes. Is it spherical?
Phoebe?
Yes.
More or less.
Okay.
But see, a regular moon is not necessarily spherical, like Hyperion.
Aha!
That's a perfect segue.
How'd that happen?
I think that's against our rules.
I know, right?
Hyperion, discovered in 1848.
Oh, wow, okay.
Orbit Saturn every 21 days or so.
Okay.
It is, in dimensions, 223.8 by 165.3.
Ah.
By 127.6 miles.
Oh, this is, what is it, an egg?
It is not round.
Yeah, I can't wrap my head around.
Three numbers to even start to talk.
Wow.
In kilometers, that's...
For our European audience.
360.2, which is really just like Eli, right?
Right,
good old Doc. That's our European audience. By 266 by 205.4 kilometers.
Okay.
I could have just laid that out straight without any kind of chatter in the middle, but what fun is that?
I know, right?
We got to give him a challenge.
Oh, crap.
Good luck, Eli. It is the largest off-round moon and the first off-round to be found.
Oh, nice.
1848, by the way, in case you were wondering when that happened. This moon... looks like a sponge.
Okay.
And by various methods and means, don't ask me how, they estimate that as much as 40% of its volume is empty space.
Wow. It's the Swiss.
They call it a rubble pile.
Yeah, that's a good term for it.
It's pretty large not to have turned round. I mean, sure, it's solid now and won't go roundy now, but presumably in its past it wasn't so cold. But they think it might have gotten knocked off of some larger moon at some point in its history. There's a couple of other moons floating around that look off, round, and fragment-like.
Okay.
And they think maybe whatever impact knocked Hyperion loose probably made a bunch of stuff that relatively softly merged with Titan and provided a lot of volatiles.
Yay for
Yes. You know, like the nitrogen and methane that makes up its atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of dark.
Okay.
And kind of reddish.
Uh-huh.
And it's between Titan and Iapetus.
Okay.
Remember Iapetus? It was like the two-tone moon?
Yes, yes.
It's the same color as the dark side of Iapetus.
Huh.
But that color all the way around.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure it got stained by Phoebe juice.
Hey.
let me put that another way.
You might want to reconsider. Phoebe juice.
Okay. Dust coming off of Phoebe from various impacts has made the Phoebe ring. It's huge. We also talked about this in the previous episode, which you can find by visiting labofan.com.
Okay, yeah.
And that's probably covered Hyperion over time. But unlike Iapetus, it is not tidally locked.
Oh.
It is, as far as we know, the only regular satellite that isn't.
Yeah, you said, 21 day for its...
For its orbit around Saturn. If you're asking how long it takes to spin around its own axis,
Yeah.
It's not 21 days.
Yeah.
It's kind of anyone's guess because there's this axial wobble. They call it chaotic is what they call it.
Yeah, that's a good term for it.
That's probably why it's not two-toned. I mean, just about every other moon in Saturn is two-toned to some degree, at least the regular ones.
Yeah.
Because they keep pointing the same face towards Saturn. The trailing edge doesn't get hit as often as the forward edge.
Mm-hmm.
So one side gets more craters than the other.
Yes.
Hyperion is kind of a weird, spinny, toppy, wiggly, giggy. It's been turned carefully and cooked on all sides. So the chemistry of these geysers.
Yes.
The geysers on Enceladus. They figure that most of the material disappears forever and becomes part of the E-ring. Okay. Actually, I'm not sure if it's most of the material. Some of it snows back down all over the surface of the Enceladus and thus gives it a young surface.
Okay, yeah.
And a bright shiny one since it's mostly water coming out of that. And liquid water as well.
Right, okay.
It's also bringing along some CO2, which is interesting. A surprising amount of methane.
Okay.
There's sodium chloride and other salts.
Mm-hmm.
Some complex organics. A bit of nitrogen's in there as well.
What is going on in this moon? It's spew.
That's the question. It takes a lot of heat to generate this kind of phenomenon.
Yeah.
And where is the heat coming from?
Tidal forces?
That is a good guess. The moon Dion, fourth largest in Saturn, 15th overall.
Cool.
Is in a 2-1 orbital resonance. Yeah, 2-1 orbital resonance with Enceladus.
Okay.
That means Enceladus goes around twice and Dion has finished one.
Okay.
That keeps the orbit of Enceladus a little more eccentric than it would be otherwise.
Okay.
So we've run into this before.
Yeah, like
with Io and Europa and other surprisingly warm moons around other surprisingly weird planets.
Yes. We have.
The thing is, if it was the tidal heating,
right?
Then what's going on with Mimas?
Mimas?
M-I-M-A-S.
Mimas.
Mimas. The smallest round moon in the solar system. It is much closer to Saturn, even than Enceladus.
Okay.
And it too has its eccentricities and tidal resonances. It should be getting more tidal heating.
Yeah, so it should be spewing.
Yes, but it's just sitting there.
Mimas, why are you so boring?
In addition, from various calculations, they found that the tidal heating only accounts for about 1/4 to 1/5 of the heat being pumped out by this moon.
It's too small for a dragon.
They have thought maybe some radioactives, like the hot start theory, that it had it is rockier than most of Saturn's inner moons.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe back in the day when there were still things like, say, aluminum 26 or iron 60.
Yes, okay.
Which are short-lived hot isotopes.
Yeah.
That provided the heat.
Okay.
And that's just sort of left over and still leaking out.
Okay.
Neither tidal heating nor the radioactive theory explains why it would have a hotter south pole than the rest of the darn moon.
Yeah, it's a spaceship. It's malfunctioned. I don't know.
They're pretty excited. It's one of the things they found in the water.
Yeah.
Is dissolved molecular hydrogen.
Oh, okay.
And you usually get those on Earth around hydrothermal vents.
Oh, hey.
As in, you know, white smokers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Particularly.
Well, there's a surprising amount of life.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that's the thing. If you've got that and CO2, which you do, in the water, both here on Earth and there, there are microbes, which might be there, but are certainly here, that metabolize the hydrogen and the CO2 into methane.
Okay.
There is
the methane.
There's
you mentioned
a surprising amount of methane in these things. Yes, there's still molecular hydrogen as well.
Uh-huh.
They've run some models and found that if our bacteria that did this sort of thing were there, there'd still be plenty of molecular hydrogen left. So abundance of that does not disprove the existence of the other.
Okay.
Actually, they did like 50,000 different possible simulations of what the environment might be like under the ice there.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, about 32% of them would support Earth-like microbes that eat a hydrogen and make methane.
Well, cool.
Which is a pretty good percentage.
Well, okay. I have one question.
Right.
With all this spewing, mm-hmm. this violent spewing, mm-hmm. and the possibility of these microbes, mm-hmm. does that mean there might be frozen little skeletons of microbes in the ring? And can't we just swing by and scoop some up?
I don't know. We've certainly flown through the plumes. Frozen, you know, that never occurred to me.
Yeah.
Another theory about Enceladus is maybe it was much larger at one point.
I know.
And all the spewing.
Yes. I see it like you're drying a grape to become a raisin.
How about a wild guess?
Okay.
Just for the fun of it. Our solar system is occasionally visited by material from outside of the solar system.
Yes.
Like rocks that just sort of fly through.
Okay.
Suppose some material from a younger star system
okay.
that still has plenty of radioactive aluminum and iron and magnesium and potassium and so forth
mm-hmm.
came barreling in.
Yeah.
Going much too fast to soft merge, but hey, first it broke up a bunch of moons and gave us present-day Titan, Hyperion, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
And then soft merged with Enceladus, so that there's an off-center hotbed.
I like this.
But, as fascinating as Saturn and all her strange moons are,
right.
there are entire other planets.
Yes, there are, yes.
But we're going to talk about that. Next time. See you then.
Bye.